As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, you're listening to the Game Football Podcast from The Times. It is finally here. Euro 2020, the European Championship, is underway with some Roman romance as the Italians kick things off in style. What an opening ceremony, and we'll share some of our great Euros memories and hopes for this summer as well on this episode of The Game. And remember, we'll have a daily show for you throughout the tournament, so make sure you're subscribed with the best journalism as well at the tournament coming from The Times and The Sunday Times. If you subscribe there, it will be less than £1 per day. So check it out at thetimes.co.uk/thegame. And right now, you can also get yourself a free trial. Let's say hello to today's journalists, I guess. Tom Clark, Gregor Robertson and Alison Rudd. Is that the right way to announce you guys? Just football fans tonight, I guess. Alison, you're wearing your Italy shirt.
Any excuse to bring out my collection. So I thought I might try and wear the appropriate shirt every time I do the podcast.
Just the winning team, obviously.
I was hoping to see the flags, Alison.
What's that, Gregor?
I was hoping to see the flags. You've got a flag for every nation, remember?
Well, they're outside. I'm not recording this outside in the street, am I?
Oh, I see.
They're outside the house.
Have you put Euros bunting up, have you?
No. The word bunting is banned. So my son had to come home for flag day, and he told his flatmates where he was going because they didn't understand. And one of them said, "So your mother puts up punting," and he had to show him a photograph of a previous tournament to show that it's as far removed from bunting as possible. These are big 5 foot by 3 foot proper beautiful flags that billow we love football to the world, and people stop in the street and they take photographs. People use the house as a point of direction, you know, turn left near the house with the flags. It's a tourist attraction. It is not bunting.
You've shown your hand very, very early, Alison. We now know how to wind you up for the rest of the tournament. Just mentioned the bunting.
And I'm wearing a shirt. Come on, I'm the one making the effort here. I'm wearing the shirt. I've got the flags. What have you guys got?
I'm in Baku, Azerbaijan. I've shown some commitment. I've come to watch Wales. Is that okay with you guys? You know, I've made the journey, frankly. Look, that Tom Clark, that scratched an itch. We've been waiting so long, firstly, to see a European competition, but also to see Italy play in international competition as well. Let's begin with the opening ceremony. Did you enjoy it? Did it have that quintessential Italian flavour?
Oh, it was fantastic, wasn't it? I mean, every opening ceremony should just have Nessun Dorma, shouldn't it? There's no need to overthink it from now on. Just get a great singer like Andrea Bocelli in a lovely sparkling blue jacket singing Nessun Dorma. Fireworks, some giant balloons that at one point I thought were going to get tangled, but then no. Out comes a gymnast spinning all through the air. And then after all that, fireworks, we've got excitement, grandeur, style. And just when you think it couldn't get any better, a little remote control car brings the ball out. I mean,
Jesus.
What more do you need? What more do you need? All these over the top people running around and doing handstands? No, just 10 minutes. Bocelli, Nessun Dorma, fireworks, remote control car. Done.
Bish, bash, bosh. Gregor, absolutely. I have a feeling that you were watching it saying, what on earth is this?
No, I mean, I loved it right up until the remote control car. I thought, what on earth is going on here? Some kind of wind-up. But I was actually, I'll admit, I got a little bit emotional. It's kind of, you know, we've waited a long time for this. It's been a hell of a year. And, you know, kind of, although it's a strange tournament, it's a strange one that there's not like a host country and it's, you know, going to be shared around. That was a good opening, a great start, and a little glisten in my eye.
Before we get to the football with Alison, I know she enjoyed it. Tom, you were admiring, even before the game kicked off, Roberto Mancini. you know, the man himself, you know, the style of him. And I looked at Roberto Mancini on the touchline, how he was dressed, his hair. And then I thought of you, and then I looked at him, and then I thought of you, and then I looked and then I thought of you, and I suddenly realized he's your style guru.
Hugh Wozencroft, will you marry me? That's basically the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me. I mean, there's going to be lots of interesting tactical battles on the pitch, but there's going to be some serious sartorial battles going on the touchline. We've seen in, you know, the pre-tournament games, Gareth Southgate's moving away from the waistcoat into a kind of knitted shirt, relaxed number. He's bringing something to the party, and then bang, Roberto and his backroom staff come strolling in, shiny shoes, well-fit trousers, a kind of jacket that if any of us had put it on, we'd look like kind of, you know, a dodgy Carphone salesman type vibe. But they just look pure class. And then he takes it off in the second half, and he's got the tie with the stars on it. He's got Gianluca Vialli behind him, just having a great time. How great was it to see Gianluca Vialli having a lovely time on the touchline after all he's been through? I mean, honestly, before even a ball was kicked, I was already in love with this tournament. It's won it for me. Fantastic stuff.
I've got to say, a picture did emerge of Vialli and Mancini during their time at Sampdoria, looking elegant in a kit, but also very stylish with his curly hair. Gianluca Vialli at the time, and Mancini with a short, you know, sweat number. Very similar, frankly, to what he's got today. And Alison Rudd's backed it up by wearing a shirt, which is also, I mean, the Game Podcast doing our own version of Italian sartorial style tonight as well.
Well, I'm glad you noticed. I was getting ready for a rant if no one noticed what I was wearing.
What year is that?
Yeah, awesome. What's
that
the vintage?
Like a kind of classic 90s, 80s?
Oh, I think it's late 80s.
Diadora, that's a nice collar on it as well. Italy, well, they just do everything right, don't they?
They do it all right. Gorgeous. I'm very jealous. They did everything right tonight as well. I tipped Italy in advance. I've backed it up with the bookmakers as well. I won't tell you how much, but I'm feeling smug and confident tonight. But Gregor, I'm going to start with you on this one. What happened to Turkey? Because I'm going to ask Alison about Italy's performance. But Turkey was so many people's dark horse, and tonight they just never really got going. How did you see it?
Yeah, there's been quite a bit of hype about Turkey, and they're massive disappointment. You know, I think they conceded the fewest goals in qualifying, 3 in 10 games, and they just sat far too deep. And I don't know, there was no threat on the counter. There was some space to kind of to try and get in behind them. But Yilmaz was just far too isolated, I thought, up top. No one really got up close to him. He had a really tough night. They really didn't have any craft or guile, and as I was saying in commentary, they looked quite fatigued in midfield. I think, you know, we have to give Italy credit though, because the most striking thing about it was the tempo they played at. You know, they looked very well structured. They're not really a team; they're a collective. Weren't really kind of any standouts. I thought Spinazzola on the left was probably the closest thing to a standout. He was fantastic, but it was the tempo they played at, and they really, you know, zipping purpose to their play. So that's the thing. This might sound a little bit daft after the 1-3-0. My only still question is, like, are they going to have the goals, the firepower? I know, you know, Immobile got his first goal in a major tournament. That's a big lift for him. But I'm still not entirely sure that final little bit that they're going to need against better opposition. That's my only question mark. But obviously, a hugely encouraging night for Italy to start with.
Alison, what do you make of Italy's performance? Are they going to have enough, particularly in forward areas?
Well, they've got Verratti to come back, haven't they? Italy of all, not literally always, but almost always been a team that chug along under the radar and start the tournaments they qualify for looking like, oh, they haven't quite got enough. But they, I think of all the clubs, if you sort of collectively analyse countries through the decades, they're the ones who pace themselves really well. And I understand what Gregor means, that he's got some sort of doubt, but I think that means they're probably very scary, because what it does imply is that they are going to get better. I mean, this is what Italy do. And I don't, you know, maybe it's far, far too early in this podcast to mention the word England, but Italy are a team that you know exactly what, no matter what era it is, you know what you're going to get. And everyone who comes into the team knows how they're supposed to play. They have a very clear identity. They don't break sweat. They make the most intelligent runs. Did you watch the runs, Gregor? I mean, they were very intelligent, and they don't expend too much energy. And given we've had a lot of stuff about, oh, how are we all going to cope with a hot summer in both London and across Europe, they're the team that will cope well with that. They don't hurtle around. They never have, and they never will. And I mean, there's something about also, I think, if you're coming up against Chiellini, what does that do to you as an entire team? He just looks like he would do anything on this earth to stop you scoring a goal. And not many defenders have that presence, I think. So I was impressed, but I would contradict Gregor and say, I think this is what they do. They make you think they haven't got quite enough, but they probably have.
Now, this is going to happen, I think, from time to time throughout the game podcast, these late evening records that we'll be bringing you after all the matches. Look, our journalists have a real job to do, which is to write in the Times and Sunday Times. We just pull them onto the podcast for a chat when they can. So let's say good evening to Matt Dickinson. How are you?
Well, I filed, so that's good news. So I filed enough words. Whether they're in the right order, I'll leave others to judge.
Did you manage to keep an eye on the football while you were doing your work? Did you see much of it?
Yeah, I did. And to be honest, I've not heard what you guys have been saying, but I thought Italy were even more impressive than I expected. I mean, Mancini, we know, is a smart organizer of teams, but I think they were more front foot than I'd expected. I thought, you know, attacking fullbacks, particularly, you know, down that left side, I thought was, yeah, they were bolder than I might have thought. I mean, they were against a Turkey team that decided to play with, you know, no pace. I mean, I couldn't quite work out what the hell Turkey were doing. You'd have thought they, you know, that if they were going to try and play some sort of counter-attacking, then you got to get some pace in that team. So obviously there's the big unknown question of what happens when you run a couple of 35-year-old centre-halves. But I thought it was, most of all, I thought it was a great occasion to watch. And just, I don't know about everyone else, but I just felt like sort of some of my senses were reawakened of just, you know, just the buzz, basically the buzz of big sport. I know it's coming back bit by bit, but that felt, felt like, you know, something returned basically tonight.
Yeah, Greg has already told us he was in floods of tears, Matt, just in case you missed it.
Wow.
He's a very emotional person
it's
at the moment.
Of weeks, you know?
I was going to say, his hormones are running all over the place. Yeah. You know, I can't say I cry, but I, you know, certainly the Ness and Dormer, it's, anyone as old as me and remembers 1990 with a special place in their hearts, I think, yeah, is always going to be stirred by that song. And, I thought that was special. I didn't get quite as excited by a mini car and a ball on it as everyone else seems to have done. I didn't take that as a life changer, but I thought it was a real, you know, you just sort of consider that, you know, 16,000 fans in a stadium in Italy, that's the biggest crowd they've had in 18 months. You know, it's these aren't small things. I think there's a communing, you know. Suddenly I was, social media has many ills, but, you know, I glanced on that and, you know, you suddenly see everyone, you know, oh, you know, what do you think of him? What do you think of that? You know, just, you know, what do you think of even talking about the kit? I mean, it's just, you know, people have suddenly got something interesting and positive and, you know, something we can share. And blimey, the world needs a lot more of that at the moment, doesn't it?
So, yeah, the Italy kit looks like a French Connection T-shirt from 1998. I'm not having it one bit.
And why are they not playing in blue?
Oh, well, the Turkey are the home team.
Yeah, okay.
Let's not go down that route.
I want more.
I knew there would be more things than one that annoyed Gregor Robertson about this game. I knew it. He came on way too cheery.
You'll have to read UEFA Protocol 1.6, paragraph 3. Clause 9 about away kits or something.
Listen, I often think that the first game of a tournament sets the tone. You know, the opening match, I think a lot of the players watch, the fans watch, and they get something from it. Sometimes it doesn't deliver and we wait a while for the tournament to get exciting. Sometimes, you know, it's fifth gear from the first match. It was the first time in European Championship history the first goal of the tournament was an own goal. The 3-0 win was the biggest winning margin in the opening game of a Euros ever. So do you think the match, Tom, is going to help set the tone, or are you expecting something different over the next, well, 10 days, let's call it that?
I think you might see a little bit more cagey football come back into it, but I hope the... Gregor mentioned it early on, the tempo was the most interesting thing, and it felt a little bit like maybe that sense of excitement and thank God this is finally here that we've all been talking about was a little bit in the players as well, in the way that they were moving around the pitch and fizzing passes and things. So that'll be interesting to see whether that continues. And I just hope that we get to see players like Spinazzola, and I thought Barella in midfield was excellent as well, because that's, they're, to me, what tournament football is all about, discovering these new players that you've never heard of before. I mean, the majority, apart from the kind of hipster European football obsessives, will not have heard of Spinazzola before tonight. And then tomorrow, we're all going to be going, what about that guy at left back who was kind of left back, but kind of a left winger with a right foot? Wow, I've never seen that before. That was really great. And we'll all be talking about him for, you know, until tomorrow when there's another guy who's played for Switzerland or something like that. It's just, it's fantastic. But yeah, I hope it sets the tone in terms of tempo, and that with fans back, we don't fall into some of those matches we saw during the season, with which were a little slow and turgid.
As someone that's physically styled themselves as a European football hipster, I was surprised to hear you say that. But fair enough. Tom, go on, Matt.
Do you think he's making the most of those attacking runs till Jose takes over at Roma?
Yeah, that's a very good point. That is a very good point.
You know, it will be interesting to say, you know, do you think his next manager will be saying, mate, you need to bomb on as much as you can down that left side?
I'm... probably not. But then it'll be interesting to see what any team does against them, because that does, we obviously spent all season talking about Trent Alexander-Arnold bombing on down the right as a right back and what a problem it causes in behind. And well, you know, you mentioned it, lack of pace and things. Will a team manage to work out a way of playing against Italy where they turn that into a weakness rather than a strength? But it's all to play for, guys. It's all still to play for.
Alison?
When Under is tackled by Barella, does that make it an umbrella? Have we got a new thing?
Maybe we have. We're going to try now for the rest of the podcast to make those connections and make words up from two players as much as we possibly can. That's what this podcast is going to be like. Alison, what represents a successful European Championship for you? I talk about the match setting the tone. What do you want to see over the next 4 weeks?
I want to see underdogs do well. I don't want to see embarrassments. My only reservation about this opening game was that Turkey didn't, they looked nervous and didn't look like they have much of a plan. I don't think it's good for the tournament. If I know some people said, oh, they might actually, you know, be rather good. There was no real evidence for that, was there? Just a slight Leicester connection that got everyone excited. But,
They beat France and drew with France. They had a decent qualifying, but they were a massive disappointment.
Exactly. I don't want there to be massive disappointments, and I particularly don't want North Macedonia and Finland, who are making their debut appearance at the tournament, to sort of get overexcited and look completely out of their depth. I want them to have a tournament they can remember. I mean, the nice thing about the European Championships is that it does throw up surprises. I mean, no one really expected Portugal to win last time around. And you do, I mean, my favourite ever Euros was 92, because I just went and wandered around on my own and made friends with strangers and made friends with lots of Danes. But that fairy tale story was remarkable, and I like fairy tales, so I'd love it if there was something else like that. I mean, no one thought Greece could win it, and they did. You can get surprises, and you can see the smaller countries have some fun and it not just be dominated by, oh, we know they're good. That's what would make it a good tournament for me, just for no one to go away feeling really rubbish about what they did. And I have a horrible feeling that tonight Turkey will, and that's not a good thing.
Tom?
As a man who today drew Hungary in the sweepstake amongst his friends, I can certainly echo Alison's hopes for wins for the underdogs. But I would say that I hope, just to return briefly to your previous question as well, that we continue to see lots of decisive refereeing, because that's, mate, we've got 25 minutes into a podcast and we've not mentioned that three-letter acronym. I'm not even going to say, because we shouldn't bring it up, because the refereeing was excellent. It was decisive. For a split second, we had penalty check. And before the words could even appear on the screen, they went away again because they went, no, it's not a penalty. Carry on. And it was brilliant. I thought the referee, I forget his name, forgive me, but he was superb, very decisive, controlled the game really well. And yes, it was a game that Italy dominated, so there wasn't as much controversy, but I would hope to see that set the standard as well.
An advert for the abolition of VAR, Matt.
He was the referee who was actually in the truck that I went to in Holland 175 years ago. So he's to blame. You can blame him for the whole thing. He was the guy sat with me going, right, this is how it's going to work and it's going to change the world and it's going to be the best thing that's ever happened to football. So there you go. We can shoehorn it in.
He just needs to referee every game, basically. That's what you're saying. Because he knows how to control it.
I spent 2 hours stuck in a van with him. He was a very nice bloke. So I was pleased to see it went well for him too.
There's been a lot of talk about Euro 96, loads of it. You know, 25 years, obviously a tournament's been moved, so we get that nice anniversary, 25 years since Euro 96. I'm praying, hoping that this tournament will be even better for England fans. Matt, do you think this summer could beat that tournament?
I mean, whether it beats that, I mean, it's sort of, you know, takes so many comings together of things, you know, the team to do some way, but there's also got to be sort of drama attached. And but you know, I think there is, tonight proved to me that there is that, you know, inside me there was even more of a yearning for a great tournament than I had realized. It was like, you know, say that stirring of something. I certainly felt it, you know, and yeah, it made me think, you know what, I am desperate for an uplifting month. And part of an uplifting month would be to see England get on a roll. I'm not going to say win it, because you know, yeah, they're not favourites. They've got a chance, but it's, you know, there's a hell of a lot of hurdles. But I just hope they come out and play, you know, with a bit of positivity, and we see the likes of Mount and, you know, maybe Grealish and Foden and others just show what they're capable of. And you know, I hope it goes well for Gareth Southgate. I wrote a piece about him this morning and I'm still quite staggered by the polarised, you know, if Gareth Southgate can polarise people, then the world is a bit nuts to me. But, you know, I'm quite struck by how all his credit seems to have just sort of, you know, been, disappeared in many eyes. So I hope for his sake it goes well, because, you know, I think he's got something about him.
Alison said 92 was her favourite Euros. What was yours?
You know, I'll certainly say the first half of Euro 2004 was sensational. You know, we had Rooney bursting on the scene. There was, you know, that was just had a whole momentum of its own. I was staying in a very nice hotel in Cascais. That sort of helped. You know, the sea was lapping at my feet over breakfast. You know, does that count as relevant? But no, it was. I thought that momentum that England had, that was the nearest I've ever felt to thinking, you know what, we might actually win something. And until that moment that Rooney limped off with the injury, I still think we might have done. So that was certainly that was a time when I thought, wow, England have something going for them here.
Gregor, what are you going to say?
Well, it's still to come, isn't it? This tournament going,
course,
all the way,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, I love John McGinn's answer last night to a question. It was like, what are you most looking forward to? He went, the final. Yes, John. Now, for me, Euro 96 is still, you know, partly it's to do with your age as well. I was 12. That's kind of the first. And that was the last time Scotland were there. I'll keep repeating this. It's been a long, long time. But Greece as well, because it is like, I think they won all three of their knockout games 1-0.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, there is this other way to win. It's great to see. It's not just an upset. It was like, this is another kind of football that can overcome, you know, the best players and the best teams.
Just say it. You were born a defender.
Absolutely.
You wanted to see clean sheets throughout.
Absolutely, yeah. I was honing my defensive skills, if you call them that, at that age. And I love to see it. You know, I like to see different styles of play and you know, a different way of triumphing as well.
Tom, you're going to say you're a 96. You can't say anything else.
I'm actually not, and I'm probably going to lose the two people who listen to the podcast who like me won't like me after this, because I'm going to pick Euro 2008 when England weren't even there. Because, let me finish. Because my friend and I, because England didn't get there, a beer provider who go with the slogan, probably the best in the world, launched a competition to find the best scout in the world to go and watch a Croatia match on behalf of Fabio Capello. And me and my friend entered and we got into the final and we both said, if we win, we'll take the other. Now, I didn't win because I was not that talented, but thankfully my good friend Ben won and he took me with him and we had a lovely weekend in Austria and we met Fabio Capello. We had lots of lovely times in fan zones and things like that. And the highlight was that in the morning of, we had a bit of free time and we may or may not have been a little bit worse for wear. Went for a wander and we're kind of walking down this street and a bit hazy. I kind of looked to my right, it's petrol station car park. I was like, that's Steve McLaren. I was like, Ben, is that Steve McLaren? He's like, I think it is. Oi, Steve. And he was like, I've never seen a man so disappointed to have been spotted in a petrol station car park than Steve McLaren. But he was very nice. He posed for some pictures with us. He had a brief chat. We did mention that we were here to scout England's next opponents and he kind of looked a bit sheepish. So it was a very special memory for me. I'm sorry that I'm picking that as my favourite.
Well, you're a disgrace of an England fan. You've ruined yourself for the next few weeks, to be perfectly honest.
I'm an Italy fan now. I've told you, England's all over for me. It's all about Roberto and those Blazers.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just before we end, there is something that I need to ask Ali, Matt and Tom, because I got the other three on the last podcast to tell me what they think will happen in this tournament. So for posterity, so at the end of the tournament, I can rip you to shreds for getting it totally
Absolutely.
Wrong. I'm going to have to ask you your winners, your golden boot, your surprise package, and who you think will announce themselves on the global stage in this tournament. So firstly, Alison, who do you think will win the competition?
Oh, well, I'm relentlessly contrary. And I also never change my mind once I've said something. So the first time I did the Times Predictor, I came up with Denmark, so I'm sticking with Denmark. But I usually do pick of the underdogs the better ones. So
okay.
Everyone laughed at me when I said Iceland would do well, and you know, last time, and you know, look what happened.
Didn't they just?
Matt, who do you think will win it?
I think probably France, but I'll say if you want me to pick someone different, just because everyone's picking France, the team that might surprise, I mean, it could obviously get complicated, depends what happened in their group. But the more I look at the Portugal team, the more I think, you know, they've got a real chance. I mean, they've got talent all the way through front to back, and I think so France, you look at France, you just think, wow, you know, ticking every box. But Portugal don't come too far behind them.
I've decided to predict a France explosion at some point in this tournament. I just think things are going to fall apart. They'll lose a couple of games. They'll all start infighting. They've done it before with better squads than this, and they'll do it again this time. I somehow think France are just going to spoil it at this tournament. Gregor, what do you think?
Well, there are reports of a little bit of a feud with Giroud and Mbappe already. Who knows
how
true that is? But like, yeah, it's starting. I think you may be right. Could be Germany. yeah, but I agree with Matt though. France or Portugal for me.
Tom?
Like Alison, I've spent a lot of my time in the build-up to this tournament doing the Times Predictor, and I've tried lots of different ways, lots of different table toppers, and every time France end up winning it. But tonight, I'm backing my boys in blue. Mancini and the lads are going all the way for no reason other than at the end of the game, I got a message from my brother to say, by the way, got a bet on Italy. And for the World Cup, we both had France and Italy going into the final. Zidane headbutt cost me the win. And so for nothing else in that, saying it on the podcast might jinx him and his bet. I'm going to go Italy.
Golden boot, Alison?
Oh, that's definitely Lukaku. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Matt?
Yep, Lukaku. I mean, they, yeah, for a lot of obvious reasons, they've got he should be able to, he might have it half won by the end of the group stage.
Che Adams. No, I'm joking. sorry.
Sorry. Oh, no, yeah, the London Dakes, obviously.
Yes, yeah, sorry, I got the wrong striker, didn't I? Harry Kane.
Okay, surprise package. Alison, that might be Denmark after your prediction.
Well, yeah, but I can't give the same answer. So I will say North Macedonia because I wrote a piece about them, which meant I looked at them a bit more closely than you might. And they have that very important ingredient, which is that they are greater than the sum of their parts. And they don't have a wealth of household names. But when they're together, they play better as a group. So they will bring some surprises, and that win over Germany in their World Cup qualifier won't be a one-off.
Matt?
Can I cheat and say we're going to be pleasantly surprised by all this wonderful officiating that we're going to see throughout the summer? and boy, it will be a surprise, given the way the world works.
Tom?
I mean, I don't think you're going to let me get away with Holland as a surprise package, are you?
No, I will. I don't think they're all that, to be honest. I don't think they're great.
Okay, well, after that, I was going to say Scotland. So, yeah, fine, let me have Holland. That's fine, thanks.
Which player do you think is going to announce themselves to the world here, Alison?
I've got a sort of premonition that the foreign media are going to absolutely fall in love with Jack Grealish, because he will be unlike most English players in that he'll play with freedom if he's picked. And I just have a feeling he's just going to be astonishing. And they're going to love his, you know, lack of shin pads and diving around and being quite continental and fearless. So I can see him not being a surprise package to us here, but surprising the rest of the world.
Matt, which player are you looking out for?
Well, I'm staying homegrown, actually. I think Bellingham. I really hope if England are in the tournament for long enough, I think Calvin Phillips will probably start the tournament, because I think Gareth Southgate will go for more sort of, you know, mature stability early on. But I really think Bellingham's got every chance to. If Jordan Henderson, you know, he's clearly struggling with fitness. I think, you know, Phillips can provide stability, but Bellingham can provide, you know, he's a real sort of old school box to box midfield player, and he's shown that he's got the maturity to play in huge Champions League games. Say if England hang around in this tournament, I would be very surprised if Bellingham is not coming off the bench initially, but then potentially even making himself a starter.
Finally, Tom?
They're not particularly rising stars, but I think we're going to fall in love with Frankie de Jong at Holland all over again after his time at Ajax. And I also think there's going to be a lot of retrospective love for former Manchester United star Daley Blind and Memphis Depay. There's going to be a lot of people going, God, they're quite good players. Why did they never make it at Manchester United? Daley Blind fizzing balls through opposition midfielders, getting it on the turn and banging it in the top corner. Hugh Wozencraft sat in a hotel in Baku going, where did it all go wrong?
Listen, once you see Daley Blind sprint, you're going to get the answer to that, to be perfectly honest. I'm faster than him, so I'm not going to take that from you, to be perfectly honest. I don't know where you've got the Netherlands from. You've obviously watched one of their warm-up games and you're suddenly convinced that they're going to beat the world. Gregor, one final prediction from you, and I know you hate them, but Wales, the first home nation in action tomorrow, they're taking on Switzerland. How do you think they'll do?
They were my surprise package. I don't think, you know, I think expectation levels are dipped for many reasons, but I think they've got a good chance. I think having watched that game tonight, that's perfect for them. Italy want Italy to win the group, and they're well capable of getting second place, so I think they've got a good chance.
Well, we will reflect on Wales' first match in the competition on tomorrow's podcast, as well as looking ahead to England's first match in the competition too. But remember, we'll be with you each and every day throughout Euro 2020, so make sure you're subscribed. Go to thetimes.co.uk/thegame. You can sign up for less than £1 a day and start your free trial right now. We will see you tomorrow.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot,
is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.